There's some humor for you. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 14, somewhere around verse 23, verse 22. We're going to kind of finish up the message from Sunday night. I rode down last night with Ben Parrish. Y'all know him from the camp. And he gave his testimony down in Georgia, down in North Georgia at Mount Rachel Baptist Church. So I wanted to go with him, and I had nothing going on in the evening, so I rode down with him to hear his story. And I've preached at that church many times. So we got there early, and we were eating dinner and stuff. And if you don't know this, that's the home of the Georgia Bulldogs. Well, I mean, not, you know, Georgia. The state of Georgia is. Okay, I don't know if you. Let me explain this to you guys, Number one, Tennessee. Yeah, laugh about it, but it's fact. Number one, Tennessee. It's going to be playing number three, Georgia. Right? So we're in Dalton, Georgia last night. And, oh, boy, I was kind of giving them the business, you know. Everybody said, yeah, we're going to whoop you. Just deal with it. Wrap it up. I mean, Alabama, South, you know, everybody got a whooping. You're getting whooping, too. And then at the end of it, they're like, when are we going to reschedule Kevin to come down here? I said, if we win next week, if we lose 2 months from now, don't bring me back. But anyway, it was fun. Well, I had a good time. I don't know if they did, but we're acting ignorant because guess what? Tennessee hasn't been relevant in 2 decades. Right? So when you're finally relevant again, it matters. All right. So Matthew chapter 14. I hope you remember the message from Sunday, and if you don't, I'm going to give you some to go back. I hope you see some things in it. You're going to see some stuff in tonight's message that hopefully you've never seen before, but I had never seen how tired the apostles actually were, right? And then God got me earlier this week as I was preparing for this message. I went to the gym, and the last thing you want to do at the gym is have a Holy Ghost moment where you're weeping like a girl at the gym. Because girls don't even weep at the gym. And that happened to me. So that'll be a thing that I share tonight. The apostles were tired for many reasons. But if you don't know the whole backstory of Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 13, John the Baptist passed away. Many of the apostles were his disciples. So when Jesus came on the scene, they automatically gravitated to Jesus because that I must decrease and he must increase, right? So they automatically went with him and left John. But John was then beheaded and they were grieving over losing their friend John and their mentor. So Jesus seen this, and he was grieved. He was grieved in the spirit. Jesus loves us. He doesn't get anything out of our death. Amen? The dying of the saints is beautiful because the end result, not the actual dying part. Amen? When our spirit separates from this body, it's the best thing that ever happened for a believer because you're in the presence of God. But they were grieving. So Jesus then said, let us go apart. Let's go into the desert part, and we will spend some time alone. And they just sat at the feet of Jesus and kind of were getting replugged, right? Plugged in and getting some help, right? And even in leadership, this is good Wednesday night, even in leadership, you're going to need help. Amen? You can't always be pouring out. You have to get poured into. So, and I know that, and then all of a sudden, right in the middle of their vacation or their separation, what happens? The demon-possessed, the sick, the lame, they start coming out to where Jesus is because nothing like Jesus has happened ever. So when people are sick and hurting, and this is where God got me at the gym, but I'll hear in a moment. So automatically they go from great, very emotionally, I wrote these four things down, emotionally tired. And then they get a little mental tired because now they're dealing with people again and they're still grieving and they're dealing with people again. So, and it's kind of like us. Maybe we go through a death or something. It only lasts about 3 days and you're cast right back into your role of whoever you are in life and you start dealing with people again. And kind of people, we dismiss death a lot of times. Our society has got at a pace. I remember going to funerals like a long time ago. Let's say back in the early 90s and the 80s. A funeral was a big deal. I mean, you had visitation day, then you had a different day, and then you had the funeral, and everybody came, and you'd have them at churches, and the church would host, and then the church would have, you had a lot of things going on. Now, man, it's at the funeral home Tuesday. When people pass away now, and I hate it because I'm a pastor, I didn't think I know this, but I hear when somebody passes away, I can tell you when the funeral's going to be, when the viewing, when the funeral's going to be. And I can do it either way they're going to do it. And I get down there and they're going to, we'll do it this day. I'm like, yep, that's what I thought. But we have sanitized it. We have expedient. We've made it so expedient that we don't really grieve right. But we don't deal with the death right. Because what death is supposed to do is supposed to put a reflection in front of you and say, this will be you. This will be you. Nobody gets out of this life without this. And that's why I do a lot of things at funerals, but I always preach the gospel. I honor that person that passed away. I try to help the family. And I'm going to glorify Jesus by sharing the gospel. I think it's the most opportune time. But we go through this so fast, we're back to doing this. And guess what? I think the best time to help families is probably about 3 to 4 weeks later. Then come in with a meal. Then come in with some flowers. Then come in and just knock on and say, hey, I'm just here to talk or listen or whatever you want to do. You know why? Because usually that's when it all settles in. I don't know why I'm sticking right here so much, but I mean, at the funeral, I don't even know, friend. Like, especially with my mom, I didn't even know we was at the funeral home. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, we're in the middle of it. Somebody says, do you want to say anything? Do you want to do anything? I said, I don't even know. Just do it. Right? And that's how this goes. But so they're dealing with this. They're dealing with this grief. They're dealing with this pain. Then all of a sudden, they're dealing with people that are broken. They're dealing with the sick, the lame, the broken. And you know they've got some role in it to line up. Okay, even if they just want to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, there's got to be some structure to it, and they're a part of it. And then what happens when the time is far spent? What all the disciples, as tired as they were, leaned over and said, hey, Jesus, send them away. I mean, the day is far spent. It's getting dark out here, and they don't have much to eat. And what did Jesus say? We all know that story. Have them sit down. And then we all know the story. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. We all know the story. What happens? Who hands it out? Me and Charlie was talking about that in the vestibule there. Man, you just start playing this thing out the more you talk about. Just talk about the personalities. Talk about age. Talk about some people that are willing to serve, some people are not. Some people are built for servanthood. Amen? There are some people, when they get into a restaurant atmosphere, they become a waiter and a waitress. There are some people who do not. Amen? They're like, ooh. They clam up, shut down. They're like, I don't know what to do. Right? So you got all these personalities working, but guess what? It's time's far spent. And Charlie had the greatest illustration. You go down here to the Roundhouse. Could you imagine the UTC arena? And all of a sudden they go, start feeding everybody top to bottom. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the night, not the beginning, cut short your vacation, dealt with the sick, the lame, the broken. Then you're still mentally tired. Now you're emotionally tired. Now you're physically and spiritually tired. Spiritually, you're getting worn out because if devils are being cast out and the devils, that's wearing you out spiritually. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, I mean, you're I don't know if anybody's ever worked in a restaurant. Have you ever, some of you ladies can say, man, yeah, you've done, hey, I mean, some of y'all ever cooked a big meal? And then had everybody eat and fall asleep? And you washed all the dishes and cleaned all the stuff and you're like, goodness gracious. And then did the laundry and did, so all right, now I'm getting some amens from the women. All right, good. So a few guys in here, I just threw that part in. I didn't see one guy. But you look at that and you see, this is how, I mean, they're at the end of the day. They're, Charlie, I see it like, man, finally, it's over. Guys, get in the boat, right? That's where we're at, 22, get in the boat. And I wrote some things down, and I said, and I did. Man, Sunday night, I was so tired. I was so tired. I was sitting there thinking, man, that sounded like, man, I kind of don't like ministry because I'm tired. That's partially true sometimes. You can get tired and not like what you're doing. Amen? Love what you're doing, going to do it, passionate about it, but be tired. But I was down there. I was down at the gym. This is where this kicks in. I'm down there at the gym, and I'm, you know, I'm doing my thing. I'm like, and all of a sudden, God speaks to me at the gym and says, Kevin, you need to look at it this way. You're not the one being ministered to. Think about it this way. Yeah, they're tired. Yeah, they're grieving. Yeah, they're mad. But they're not devil-possessed. They're not missing a limb. Somebody's not carrying them out there where they were vacationing just to see if Jesus would, because nobody else can. Amen? Sometimes if I'm not careful, I forget. God's chose me to be a part of the ministry. I'm not the one being pulled. I will be one day, probably. I could be, but praise God, sometimes we need to remember, no matter how tired we are, we're not the one. It could be easily us in the line sitting there going, I don't know where my next meal's coming from. If Jesus don't heal me, I'm not going to get healed. I don't know. Could you imagine if you were sitting back there and you're a parent and your child is sick, lame, deformed, or demon-possessed, and you're wondering if you can get that child to him because he's only one man and there's 20,000 people there? Don't forget me, Jesus. Don't forget my child. What would you lose it if he started to get by you just by a little bit? And now you think of that 12. Then we think of ourselves sometimes. That's where I got broke. I was at the gym going, sometimes if I'm not careful, I can get caught up in how tired and how miserable I am. But I forget there are broken people out there. And I need to remind myself to stop for a moment and say, yes, I'm tired, but praise God, I'm whole. I'm in my right mind. I'm not standing in the line going, oh God, is there going? I'm not sitting at the house tonight going, man, when's that next meal coming? Think, man, that God hit me. I was like, I was doing good with this message. I was like, you're right, I'm tired. I can get tired. Jesus, sometimes you think too much about yourself. You need to remind yourself where you could have been instead of where I'll let you be. Whew. Man, does that hit home with everybody else? Boy, I got that message, and there is a lot of truth in there. There's a lot, but then God hit me with that one, amen? But then all of a sudden, watch, let's get in this 22. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. Underline that word. The wind was contrary. The wind was contrary. We talked about that. The wind, all it wanted to do was get them to turn around and go back. And Jesus, all he wanted to do was get them to go forward. I wrote this down as I was studying this out. Tired is the glue to a good relationship. Then I thought to myself, that ain't cool to say, but it's absolutely true. You don't know who you're married to until you're tired of something they do. Woo! Can we go home now? There for a minute, y'all were like, God, Kevin, that don't make any sense. But then all of a sudden you heard it. When you first get married, they're amazing, beautiful, fun, exciting. You're going to take on the world. Then you go to bed and you're, what's that rattling noise? Oh, it's him. That's what that rattling noise is. What's that? What's that against my leg? What's that touching me? Oh, that's her foot. I don't like people touching me when I'm sleeping. Well, I can't sleep unless I'm touching somebody. What are we going to do? I'm tired of this. And then I wrote this down, and I might be wrong, but I don't think I am. I've been married 20 years, but I wrote this down. I said, what if this thing keeps on doing this, I write this down. It's the glue of the relationship. This could be level. There could be levels to this. Let me slow that down. I said, there could be levels to this. I'm tired of this. Oh, I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of this. You're 20 years married, 30 years married, 40 years married, 50 years married. If you stay married long enough to somebody, stay in relationship long enough with somebody, there are going to be so many times you're going to have to say to yourself, I'm really tired of this. Y'all better not sit here and look so cool with me this right now, because this is real. I'm tired of picking them up. I'm tired of feeding. I'm tired of dressing. I stopped being a wife. I stopped being a husband. And I'm a nurse. I didn't know I was going to be a nurse. And now you can roll them back over the years of little things that you thought you were tired of. But they made the marriage and the good times better. Somebody says, man, what makes your marriage work? Why do you stay together? There are some things that I'm absolutely tired of. And don't ask her what she's tired of about me. Because my list is probably 10 times longer than her list is. Her list is probably that long. Mine's like whatever I've made up in my mind that is goofy. But guess what? Despite that, we've not left. We've not parted. We've just gotten stronger. We've had to look each other and say, I don't like that about them, and I'm tired, and this is hard, but it's worth staying together. Whew. They got in that boat, and the storm was raging, and they were looking at each other, all them apostles and disciples, and they were saying, I don't like you. And I don't like the way you say, do, smell, talk. I don't like you. But you're all I got to get through this storm. God's put us together. We might as well row together, bail together, sweat together, complain together. Because some reason God wants us to be together. Man, I was preparing this, and I said, this ain't going to make any sense. It's going to be like kind of parted together. But I looked into that boat. I've preached this so many times in my life. I've never looked at this the same way. When they started, Charlie, the wind was already blowing. That wind was already blowing. Guys, the devil's already been against us. He's been against us from the get-go. When you said, I do, when you said, I will, when you said, I want Jesus, I believe, forgive me of my sins. Oh, yes, I'll be a deacon. Oh, yes, I'll be a councilman. Oh, yes, I'll serve. Oh, yes, I'll give. The devil said, whew. And he began to blow. And where's Jesus? He's on high, praying for you. Watching over you, saved you, promised you. Amen? Verse 24, the wind was contrary. Verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. At the very end of the night, Gary, Charlie, watch this, Ed, this is going to make more sense to you than it's ever made in your whole life when you read this next thing. He came at I'm talking about 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. He comes walking on the water. Has Jesus ever showed up where it seemed like he was late? When you're sitting there going, I could have used you. Here's this one I wanted to get to right here. That mentally tired and that spiritually tired, when they converge, you better watch out. Somebody could get hurt. Amen? Guys, y'all just let this sink into your mind and heart. Because I know there's some people in this room. You've been physically tired. And you've been mentally tired. But when that spiritual aspect drops in there, And you say words like, I don't know if I can make it. I don't even know if I'm made of the right stuff. I'm about to quit. I think Jesus started walking because they started thinking, I can't. I don't know. Maybe he picked the wrong guys. I wrote this down. Have you ever got to a place in your life where you think, what is it? Do people even care? M12 disciples, man, does people even care what I do? Why do I keep going? God, listen, if you keep going with Jesus in any part, you're going to ask some weird questions like this. Am I even good at what I'm doing? Am I any good at this? All of a sudden, Jesus come walking. Watch, y'all going to see it. Y'all have never seen it like this before, I hope. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a spirit? And they cried out with fear. They couldn't recognize him. You know why? They were crazy. Crazy tired. Mentally, spiritually. They were hallucination tired. Y'all don't want to look at it. And we're going to see it. And I'll verify that for you here in a second. They seen him and they go, are you a spirit? You're something. That ain't right. Amen? When you don't even recognize Jesus anymore, even though he's walking in a different environment, he's doing some things that he shouldn't do, they at least could have went, you know what? They were so. And guys, listen. Sometimes when Jesus shows up, when God shows up in your life, you can get emotionally tired, mentally tired, spiritually tired, and physically tired. And when he shows up, you might not even recognize him. I can take you to another place in the Bible. He was crucified, resurrected, and he showed up in a room and nobody recognized him. You know why? Because they were mentally, emotionally, spiritually tired. Some of them were still grieving dead Jesus while living Jesus was in the room and they couldn't get their mind wrapped around that he's alive. And all of a sudden, here they are on that boat, and here comes Jesus walking on the water. Here's what they all should have said. Thank God you're here. But they're so out of their mind tired that they almost, it says in Mark that his goal was to pass by. Read it. It's in there. His goal was not even to stop. Rebecca, his goal was, I'll meet God. This is so good. I'll meet them on the other side. That was his goal. But somebody caught a glimpse of him. Dude, I could leave right there. I'm about to lose it right there. Whew, good Lord. But somebody caught a glimpse. Can y'all see it? Guys, can you see it? We're visual people. The waves are breaking. The waves are breaking. And Jesus is walking in between the breaking of the waves. I don't know which one it was. One of them said, I think I see somebody walking on the water. Would you shut up and keep bailing, you idiot? We're never going to get out of this alive. But I mean, what if it's Jesus? And what if he's not going to stop? Do y'all remember when I just asked that earlier in the question in this message? Remember when they were on? When I said about the 25,000, and you had one that was sick or dying or full of the devil, and you thought Jesus was going to pass by. Ain't it funny how Jesus can put you in the same position? Just a few hours later, they're in the boat going, God, I wish he would show up out here. I wish he would show up in my life right now. I'm going under. Somebody caught a glimpse of him. Who are you out there? Sharon, that's a good prayer, isn't it? we like the prayers that are very, you know, informed, like very formal, layered, repetitive, with the things that we feel comfortable with. How like this one. Who are you? Who are you out there? I've asked some prayers like that to God, scared out of my mind, not knowing what's going to happen next. God, I hope it's you. God's good. They cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. That doesn't work. It didn't work. They're still crazy tired. That didn't heal them of their tiredness. That didn't fix the problem. They're still, listen, I got, me and Anthony were talking after this message, and I knew how much I left out of this when I come back tonight. I said, just think about this. Think about how sore they are. Have y'all ever done anything that caused you to be sore? I'm talking about, man, there's been times where I played sports, but the greatest one was when I was in the Marine Corps. We would do 25-mile hikes in four-day increments. The first day was amazing. The second day was terrible. The second day, you marched all night, 25-mile night, and all of a sudden, you get 3 hours of sleep. They wake you up in the middle of the night and say, all right, we're doing another 25 miles. Get up, let's go. And you're like, yeah, all right. Nothing works. For about 3 miles. 3 miles. It takes 3 miles for your body to stop limping and hurting. And these guys were sore. They were tired. They were depleted. Mentally, emotionally, physically. That didn't fix their situation. That only let them know there was somebody there to help. God, this is so good. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, see, y'all didn't believe me about that thing, because how many of y'all believe now he might be in eyesight right now? Like, they kind of figure out who he is. But that don't make sense right here, because guess what Peter says? And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, this is common English, is if it's you. Did y'all catch that? If it's you. He didn't say, oh, I know exactly who you are. Either he's close enough that he can see him, he's not close enough that he can see him, or he's so stinking tired, he still don't know. And some of y'all in this room, you play it off all cool. You do this year in and year out. Some of y'all are so miserable and tired, and life has just pulled at you. And sometimes you don't recognize Jesus. You smile, you grin, you nod, you keep working, you keep doing. But praise God, you're still going, God, if that's you, if it's you, I love what Peter does right there, because guess what? We have to do exactly what Peter did. He said, if it's you, can I come out there? That's big faith. It's almost a little crazy too, don't you think? I really don't know if it's God. I don't know exactly who that could be. But I sure would like to be out there where he's at. You think you might just be a little, I'm sick and tired of being in the same situation. I'm sick and tired of being scared out of my mind, tired, miserable, mad. If it is you, I'd rather be with you than in this boat with these knuckleheads, because we ain't doing nothing better. Ain't that good? Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come with thee on the water. I love Jesus' answer. I wish some of y'all would get this. God don't have to give you a bunch of words and a bunch of big stuff to do. All you got to do is give you a one-word answer, and it'll break you down to your core. Jesus said, come. One word. One little old red-letter word in the sea of black words right there. He just says, plenty of room. Come on out. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. How far did he make it? That's impressive. I've heard so many people, I've been preaching this thing for so many years, hearing other people preaching, they're like, well, Peter sank. He walked. My goodness, man. Do some things that nobody else is doing just because God says you can. There are some things in this life, if you keep following everybody else, doing what everybody else is doing, you're going to get what everybody else has got. God's told me to do some different things every once in a while, and I'm so glad I did. And man, when you do, people, when your foot goes outside of that boat, every Christian, every believer, every person, I read this Bible, and you know what? Sometimes the apostles and disciples got it wrong. They did. When the woman took that alabaster box and broke it open, every one of them ridiculed her and said, why is she wasting that? They got it dead wrong. And I'll guarantee you, every one of them was sitting in that boat. You say, how do you know they got it wrong? None of them else got out of the boat. So I know they got it wrong. Peter swung that leg over and got that other leg over and stood on water. And I guarantee you, every one of them was looking at him like, you're out of your mind. But I'm walking on water. Amen? Is the wind still blowing? Is he still tired? But he's walking in a miracle now, right? Okay. What's this right here? Came down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus, verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Wait a minute. Ain't that the same wind that's been blowing all night? I never got that before. All the way back up there in verse 24, it says, for the wind was contrary. All night that wind blew. He's seen the effects of that all night. What was different now? He's on his way to Jesus. Why did he start looking at the wind all of a sudden? Why did he start looking at the wind? Instead of focusing on why the sinking and all that, what I want to tell you tonight is, right when you start looking at the thing that you're so afraid of and the thing you think is going to take you under, maybe make this mark in your mind. I must be close to doing something good for God, because the devil really wants me to see everything else. I preach so many messages here about this, that Brooke Bazor, right before they were about to get their family back, David and his family, they came to Brooke Bazor, and all they had to do was get over that brook. About 200 of them couldn't make it over. They said, as far as we can go. All right? Maybe, right? So here we are right here on this. Oh, man. Look at that wave. Oh, my gosh. Look at that. Oh, look. And then all of a sudden he began, we need to learn from Peter and say, wait a minute. When I start fearing, living in fear, and I start sinking, and I realize I've taken my eyes off of Jesus, maybe the answer is not to keep sinking and keep looking at what the enemy's doing. It's to say to yourself, I must see Jesus. I must look at him. I must focus on him. I cannot keep going down. I must focus on him. Because he's close. He's out there walking on the water. But he did the right thing anyway. Save me, Jesus. Boy, that's a good prayer even for the saved folk. Amen. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. What was the whole purpose here? What was the whole purpose? Why did Jesus let them get this tired? Why did he let them do this? Why did all this happen? One, he wanted them to know, even all the way up into death, he had them. All the way up into death. Even when it was, all the other stuff was outer influence stuff, but when it got down to threatening their own bodies, Jesus had them. But watch this right here. Can I give you all the simple answer? He wanted him to get to the other side. Wow. Sorry, I thought that was a big theological moment. Everybody in the room could have preached that. Watch this right here. And immediately Jesus went up, stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, therefore didst thou doubt. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Watch this. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out in all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that he might only touch the hem of the garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. And I preached about a month or two ago, and Bart and Kimberly were here. And they're not here tonight. I'm going to let them know about it. No, I'm just kidding. But Bart met me out in the vestibule when I preached about the demonic man. And I said the townspeople told him to go away. And he met me right out there and he goes, hey, you didn't finish that message. And I was like, why? What do you mean? He goes, Jesus went back. And they accepted him. The last time Jesus went over to a storm, he came and he met the demonic man. He healed him, right? He healed him. And the town told him to go away. But Jesus left the agent. So Jesus wanted to tell his disciples, he said, it's important, even though you're tired, I've got somewhere to you to go. I want you to get to the other side to see there's a multitude. I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. I want you to get to the other side because I want you to see, remember that one guy that I left there who was tired and broken in his sin. I saved him and I left him there. When they landed there, everybody brought their people out and laid them down. And you know what they said? Not one of the disciples said, man, I'm glad. I wish we'd have quit somewhere or went back to where we were. They all said, I'm glad I made it to the other side to see what God has done in a bigger plan. There's a lot of people over here that I didn't expect to be here doing things that I didn't expect them to do. Has anybody caught on to the end of the message yet? When we get over to the other side of life, when we roll up to the shores of glory, not one of us will say, man, we were tired. I wish we had quit somewhere along the way. Because I see people over here, some of the people that we lost and we grieved over, some of the time that was wasted, but somebody got healed on that vacation. Somebody got saved on that vacation. Oh, yeah, those are the kids that got fed and became evangelists. And, oh, yeah, man, we got better. And guess what? We made it to the other side, and people are doing things and saying things. And not one disciple, not one apostle, not one person will ever say, I'm glad I wish I'd have quit. I was so tired. Guys, I believe this with all my heart. You're going to get tired. You're going to get tired in this life, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically. But keep pressing on for Jesus. When you step on that other side, you're going to say, thank God. Thank God. Thank God I did. I'm tired too. But it'll be worth it. Let's all stand.